it has been a full and interesting day. Everybody had so many questions. I don't think you're going to have as many for me because my stuff is really very basic and probably stuff you already know. But I have written down a few things here, and then after I get through, then I'll open it up, and you can say, well, why didn't you cover that? And then I will cover it. Now, my phone is not behaving well. I'm getting a lot of beeps on it, and I checked my messages while I was offline. I took care of those. I don't know. I guess it's, well, it's technology. That is my answer. For everything I can't do, I say, well, that's technology. So, okay. I wanted to start out, first of all, by saying this. I'm sure, I have started to say it, I'm sure that so many of you are already doing these things that I have written down to talk about, but I'm interested also in hearing some of the techniques that you have developed. So, first of all, now, can you guys hear that noise? Are you hearing?
No, we don't, Diane. We hear just you, so you're okay.
Fine. Okay, that's all. I didn't want it to be interfering. Okay, so first thing I wrote that I wanted to say, be sure that as seniors, you are in charge of your life. Now, by that, I mean probably all of us have some other disabilities and blindness, and we know what we need to have help with. And sometimes it's hard to refuse help politely and still get what you need. So let me just throw this out. One method that I use, I moved in a senior living program. It's independent living. And everybody around here, we do all of our own meals and all of that sort of thing. So when I moved here, everybody, they wanted to, here's a question I love. Where are you trying to go? Now, that implies that you're not going to get there. But anyway, they would say, where are you trying to go? Or what are you looking for? You know, they don't realize the different methods that we use. I was a guide dog user for many, many years. But I also always had, especially when I traveled on an airplane, I always had a cane with me. It's the only time I ever used a telescope because I could put it away, you know, and not disturb anybody. But when I moved here, I do not have a guide dog anymore. I'm using a cane completely. And so when they would ask me what I was looking for, because I was looking for a door or something using my cane, I would say, well, I'm looking for the conference room, and I think I'm just about there, but thank you for asking. And that seemed to be the most polite way, because sometimes I needed to know where things were. I didn't want to be so abrupt and glib, so I tried very hard to make sure that they knew I appreciated their asking. One time I said, well, I think I've got this under control, but you know, maybe the next time I'll have to ask you where something is. And of course, they were very, very open to that. When you move into a senior living setting, I don't know if others of you have found this to be true. Those folks have been dealing with the old stereotypes of blindness and the belief that, you know, we really do need a lot of help. And they've had that for years. So I do my best to always recognize that fact and always be polite and that sort of thing. So, as I said, take charge of your life. The worst thing you could do, well, no, not the worst thing. I do kind of exaggerate. One thing that I've seen happen many times is now I'm facilitating a lot of senior group meetings. And the person will say, that's on the phone, will say, well, my daughter wanted me to move here so I'd be closer to her. But I never see them, my daughter and her husband. They're still working, and I understand they have their lives. But I uprooted myself completely to come here because I thought probably it might be a good idea. So I don't know if you have dealt with that or not. But that's why one of the reasons I said be sure you're in charge of your life. After my husband passed away, this was 10 years ago now, my grandson said, well, are you going to get someone to move in? Are you going to get a housemate? He didn't think I needed that to help me because he'd been around me enough. He knew that Ray and I were both very independent people and could pretty much manage on our own. And I said, well, no, Michael, I don't have any desire to do that. And I said, I have lots of friends dropping by, and I go lots of places. So the adjustment is going to be losing my husband. That's the hard part. But he was very thoughtful, and he thought that I'd be happier if I had somebody around. But I don't know if that happens to other people. The ones that really bother me are the ones that I mentioned first, where somebody in the family, usually one of the kids, said, well, you should move here. And then, as I say, they don't mean to ignore their parents, but they have, everybody has their own life that they're living. So that's one of the main things I need to talk about when I say be in charge. The other one is managing your own money. There are some people who don't want their family to know about their money. Not perfectly fine. But by managing your own money, I mean find a system that works for you and then make your own decisions about what systems you want to use. They do have, in your bigger banks, you can get a personal banker and go with that person and make an appointment, and that person will read your bank statement. They will even write your checks if you want them to do that, and you direct them what you want them to write checks for. So many people are paying bills online nowadays. I don't happen to be one of them. I think that Janie is an absolute genius. And there are lots of other people I know that I think are just brilliant. Technology isn't anything that I've ever been real interested in. I do some things. I'm a person, I believe, I learn the things that I know I'm going to use. I have an iPhone, sure I do, and I'm glad to have it, but I mostly want it to make calls and to receive calls, but mostly it's to make a call. And occasionally, I have Comcast, and occasionally Comcast kind of gets weird, and so I'm glad I can still make and receive a call without using my landline. So again, make technology work for you. Don't worry about the fact that everybody else can do more than you can. Do learn what you're interested in, and then your interests may grow. And you can find somebody like Janie or some of these other folks. We've got some wonderful technology people here in Colorado and at the Colorado Center. I'm still very closely involved with the Colorado Center. But basically, it is our flagship program in this state for blind people because it's all based on NFB 40. So you can't do much better than using that philosophy. But we do have some very smart people who teach technology and some other people I know. So it doesn't bother me a bit to say, will you show me or tell me how to do this? And they're just great. They will do that. And I don't feel stupid. Well, maybe a little. You know what I mean. I tell everybody, my brain came into being long before there was Microsoft and all of these other companies. So it doesn't bother me to ask for assistance. And I think that's what very important, too. Don't ever be embarrassed to ask for assistance. And no doubt there will be lots of ways you can then assist other people. And whatever there is, I have been blind all my life. And I think in many ways that is easier than dealing with having sight until you're 87. 70, whatever you are, because they are embracing a whole new way of learning. That's what I love about our senior programs and our students. I also still facilitate philosophy classes for regular center students from time to time, and we have lots of fun with those. So that, to me, that's what being in charge is about. As I said, some banks, I'm back to money, some banks you can have a personal banker do a lot for you, or you can do a lot on the phone. For example, with my little old landline, I can call up and get my balance and check on which checks have cleared. But I don't know if that's the case in other, this is a big metro area. So I don't know if I lived in, say, Brush, Colorado, maybe I could do it. I don't know. But anyway, so there are lots of things I think are important about being in charge and making your own decisions, being sure that you don't relinquish yourself to making other people do things that you really could be doing for yourself. Maybe you just didn't know you could do them, and that's what's so wonderful about this seniors meeting that we're having all week. And so wonderful about being part of the NFB. I can always find somebody. I don't know who. Somebody. Talked about a blind. I think it was Judy, maybe. Talked about a blind cosmetologist. Well, I would have been. I would have been just as. I wouldn't know what to have said either. So keeping in touch and being active in the NFB is one of the most positive things you can do for your life. I have been a member for many, many years and have grown tremendously from my involvement with all the blind people from all over the country. I will never forget one of my very first conventions I went to, which was a long ago. There was a teacher that we had a case for, and I thought, how does she teach? I don't know how she could teach because I just hadn't had that experience. And then, of course, one of my very dear friends is Judy Sanders, and she's a tremendous teacher. I have many other friends who are teachers and are blind and are teaching in public schools with children who are not blind. So I know that can be done. As somebody said earlier, you think something can't be done, by golly, you're going to find out it can be, and it is being done. I want to move now to some things. Again, I really feel like I'm saying things you all know, but I'll say them anyway. For example, how many of you make a grocery list? Well, I am a compulsive list maker. I guess I learned that running the center because I was trying to keep a lot of balls in the air at once. But it's been very helpful to me. What I want to say about making lists, be sure that you, after you make the list, you can retrieve it. I have seniors who say, well, yeah, I'll make notes, but then they can't read the notes they made. So have a way that if you want to do something and you want to check back on it, it's a system that you can use. You don't have to have somebody come and say, you say, here, read my list. You know, that wouldn't be very effective. So are many effective ways. Of course, I've been a Braille user all my life, and I do use Braille every day of my life. Can't imagine getting along without it. But that's not true for many, many people. So be sure that you can read what you write, no matter what form you're putting it in. There are some pretty good, really very good recorders that are reasonably priced. And I'm sure Ellen Ringline could give you some ideas. I can give you an idea. One that we find is very good is a Wilson recorder. Now, I don't use it myself, but we have gotten them at the center so people can try them out and see if they work for them. And most people have really good luck with those. Next is labeling everything. Now, I don't mean you have to label every single thing you have, but I do have a pen friend, and I find it very helpful. I think we carry them at the independence market. And it's shaped just like a pen. and you can record into it, and I record, well, for example, a can of peaches. I use the Pen Friend labels that come with the Pen Friend, and you record, you want to, 16-ounce can of peaches or whatever it might be. Then you can retrieve that the same way. And then Duncan Larson, she is one of my closest friends. We've worked for years and years. And I know you're going to hear her Thursday on travel, and that will be great. I'm just so sorry that I have a prior appointment, so I can't listen to that, but it will be great. All of our presenters are just really wonderful. So anyway, back to labeling things. Duncan and I say, we're the low-tech people. We don't have to have technology for everything. So, okay. So you want to... medications. It is key that you have really full control over your medications. And I'm sure that many of you already have. Oh, and of course, I'm drawing a blank on the name, but you all know something mate. Maybe somebody can give you the name when we have time for questions.
ID mate.
Thank you. ID mate. And it's now free of charge, so that's better yet. I'm a big one. I use rubber bands a lot. They are very helpful. With my medications, I don't have the ID mate, but I do have other ways of determining what they are. I'm very fortunate. I don't have to take very many, but I have to take a couple. And so put a rubber band around the bottle. If it's a blood pressure med, which most seniors are on, put a rubber band around that bottle. Or you can use dots. These little, Ellen talked a lot about the dots. I'm a big dot user too. So put a dot on that medication. You don't want to get your medications mixed up. I had a senior who came into class one day, and he was very off in his own world, shall we say. And he thought he knew what medication he was taking, and he was taking the wrong one. Well, fortunately, it was realized right away, and there were no, he was okay. But that's why I didn't have that experience. But knowing people who have had, be sure that you know which medications you are taking. And these other things that I have listed are about cooking and cleaning, which I'm sure you all know. So, for example, we'll start with cooking. Measuring dry ingredients, I heard someone say, you can just dip a cup in flour and then cut slices, run a knife across the top to level it. And then you know you have one cup. And that, I've used that method for years. Other dry ingredients, you can't do that with brown sugar as easily, especially if you live in a very humid climate. But there are other things you can do, and one of those is measure it out using a regular tablespoon. Measure it out into your cup, and then I will kind of press it down so that it's, we would call it hacked. And if it says, it'll say in recipes a lot of times, one cup packed brown sugar, or it'll say one cup loosely packed. So then you know how to determine that. For measuring even dry ingredients, I like to put the measuring cup in a bigger dish, usually a big flat bowl. And then if you do spill a little bit, you don't have to clean your whole countertop. I've been known to have to do that in my time. I guess that's how we learn some of these things, is trial and error. Another thing I want to say about groceries, be sure you get the expiration date. Everything that I can think of does have an expiration date. So that's important to keep track of. You don't want something that has expired or is close to expiring. I eat a lot of yogurt. And for yogurt, I still get all the expiration dates. Somebody said, well, nowadays they put so many preservatives in everything. Well, I know they do, but I still want to be sure of the expiration date so that I'm not taking it when it's out of being good. When you're shopping in the grocery store, your assistant, if you have someone who helps you in the supermarket, or if you have a friend that goes with you, or whoever is assisting you, be sure that you know what you're buying. I had an experience the other day. I've been grocery shopping all my life. And I said to the helper, I said, I want some cans of V8 juice. And she said, okay. So she put them in the grocery cart. And for some unknown reason, I got careless. And I didn't look at them, and they were the 16-ounce cans. So I have six 16-ounce cans of V8. But that's okay. I'll use them. They won't go to waste. I really hate to waste food, but neither am I going to take the risk of having it in the refrigerator too long. Your nose is a great tool, and I sniff just about everything. Spices, absolutely. They're easy to tell apart, except after you snip four or five of them, you kind of lose track. So it really is better to have some kind of label on that, as well as other things. Identifying money. I was with an older gentleman one time, and he hadn't been blind very long, and he took a cab somewhere, a taxi somewhere. This was before Uber and Lyft. He took a taxi, and before he got out of the taxi, when he was at his destination, he just said, he handed this driver his wallet, and he said, take out the money that you need to have for the trip. Well, I certainly do not recommend that, and there are many ways, again, to identify your money. I facilitate a group here with, and of course, these are all older people, and losing their sight later on in life. And one of the things they wanted to know is, how do I identify my coins? And I said, I got some coins out, had a nickel and a dime and a quarter and a penny. Not that anybody needs pennies anymore, but you still get them from time to time. So we worked on that, explaining how the nickel is bigger than the penny in size, and the dime has little ridges around the edge, and the quarter is bigger than the dime, and it also has little ridges around the edge of it. Now, identifying your paper money is definitely as important. There is no way for identifying paper money, I don't think. What we teach folks is get a system that works for you. For example, then we'll give it an example. In my billfold, my ones, I just leave straight. And then my fives, I fold twice. My tens, that's likewise. My tens, I only fold once, and the fives are twice. The 20s, I fold in a little square. I never get hundreds, so I don't have to worry about hundreds. I don't get many 50s either nowadays. But,
Diane?
Yes.
I apologize. So I'm one of the hosts. This is Jerry. I just want to let you know there are apps that will identify your money.
Yes. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. I know there are. And there's another thing that you can get. Well, that's probably what you're talking about, CAI.
Yes.
And that's great. I do use that on my cell phone.
And I do know that the Mint, there's a place in Washington, D.C. where you can get these money identifiers that used to cost $100, and now they give them away.
Well, they were giving them away here. Well, this goes back a ways. And by the time it was at a convention, and by the time I got around to getting one, they were gone. But do they still have those?
Yes,
they do.
Yes, and I can look up the information in my office in Salt Lake, because I was in touch with the lady from Washington, D.C., who had said they take applications, and it's just a matter of filling out an application, and they send them right out to you.
Well, that's great. Where do you get the application?
At the moment, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'll definitely get it to the senior division.
Well, that would be great. That would be great. And maybe your bank could even tell you. Nowadays, of course, they are really preferring that they don't they're not real happy unless you're using a charge card or a debit card. And it's important that you know the numbers on those cards too. So I have one of each, a debit and a charge. And so I have those numbers written down. And supposing you want to order something online or over the phone, and you have to know those numbers so that you can enter them. So let's see, that's money. I love talking about money. I'm just going through my little list here.
Hey, Diane, I just wanted to add one thing. I should have added it earlier.
Sure.
On pharmacy prescriptions.
Yes.
Walgreens has a program where you can get a talking, I know that there's something called Script Talk that's out there that if you talk to your pharmacies sometimes, and it's a really economical program that, I mean, it's only like $700 for the pharmacy to sign up. You can go to scripttalk.com and you can actually look up and see if there's any in the area. They'll actually do the calling for you if you talk to your pharmacy, but don't let your medication be something you don't identify.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Well, hey, Diane?
Uh-huh?
This is Michael Love, and I was going to show you something real quickly here. I have one of those little gizmos called the iBill.
Oh.
And just a little handheld device with a button on each end. You can either set it up to talk or vibrate. And
yeah?
It's got an opening. You insert the bill into it, push the little button, and it tells you what it is.
Five.
I think I had the speaker the wrong way. Let me try that again.
No, yeah, I heard that. That was great.
There you go. Yeah, so it's a...
Where did you get that?
I think I bought it before they gave them away for free, so I've had it a few years, but...
Okay. Well, it still works. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
That's great. I really appreciate it when people add in these things that they have experienced because, of course, it's helpful for all of us. So those are the things that I had written down. Oh, back to, well, I have a couple more things on cooking and cleaning. When I clean my floors, I have some carpeted areas and I have some that are not. My kitchen is not, my bathroom is not, but everything else is carpeted. When I vacuum, I do it in my bare feet, and I always vacuum in a pattern, whatever pattern works for you. And I vacuum a small, fairly small area at a time. And then when I think I'm done, I go back and do it again. We don't want people thinking blind people are dirty. We're not. I always said in cooking, I wash my hands probably more than anybody else. Of course, nowadays we're washing them for COVID reasons, but I am just a obsessive hand washer. Certainly when I'm cleaning the same way, I really do a lot of hand washing. And covering, reaching around on your countertop, move things. If you have a lot of stuff on your countertop, you'd be surprised. A little sugar can get under there, a little coffee, things that you don't want there. So use your hands. This is one of the hardest things that I have dealt with working with seniors because all of their lives they've looked at everything and they've never thought about using their hands. But they soon come to realize that is the safest, best way to be sure. I'm going to refer back to Duncan again. She has taught everything. She, the NOMC classified for teaching cane travel, but she could teach about anything you give her. And she said that when she wants to be sure a counter is clean, she's looking at it, but she's also rubbing her hands over it to be sure that there isn't something she could have missed. So let's see, that's cleaning. The vacuuming idea I got when my kids were babies, crawling around on the floor. The last thing you want to do is have something on the floor that you didn't know was there, and they pick it up and put it in their mouth. So I know that as a blind parent, I probably was overcautious. But I guess I don't think you can be overcautious, truthfully. I think when you're raising little ones, you just have to try to anticipate everything that could possibly they could pick up and put in their mouth. So let's see. That cleaning, and I know I've forgotten some things. Those are the note that I have made. I talked about pouring. No, I didn't talk about pouring. That I did skip over that in my list. Again, when I'm pouring milk, I'm measuring milk, or even pouring a glass of milk, I would set that inside of a larger bowl. So in case if you run it over, you don't have the whole countertop to clean. There are things made for coffee, for hot liquids, and it will make a little noise when it reaches the top of your cup. I think we have those at the center, but truthfully, we're not very gadget-oriented at our center. We want people, somebody talked about problem solving. That is the key thing to learn, well, whether you're sighted or blind, but I do think that being a good problem solver is so key, and certainly structured discovery, that's a method we also do use at the center. Structured discovery is all about problem solving. So now I made those few notes.
Okay, Diane, we have about 20 minutes left, but you mentioned Judy. She has joined us and is unmuted.
Judy Sanders or Judy Jones?
Sanders.
Sanders.
Yeah.
Hey, Judy, glad to have you on board. Now, here, maybe you have some tips on cleaning or cooking.
Oh, heavens, no. But
yes, you do.
But I do want to comment on two things. One is about the iBill.
Yes.
I don't know if this is still the case, but for a long time after they gave out the mass handouts of them, the libraries for the blind were giving them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they still may be available from your library for the blind. It wouldn't hurt to ask.
Ask if you don't know. Ask.
Right. And the other thing is, I wanted to clear up when you said, or somebody said, Jerry, I think, that to use the talking script talk thing for medications, you said it was $700. I don't think you mean, though, that it's $700 for the person who's getting the prescription.
No.
I think the pharmacies pay that.
That's exactly right. That's all. I just meant that big old pharmacies, you know, they complain about costs sometimes, and it's really not. But, oh, yeah, the customer doesn't have to pay.
Right. And then you can get, and I think it was free, Envision. Is that the place that uses the... You get something at home, and the pharmacy sends you your prescriptions, or you pick them up, and on the bottom of the bottle, they've put a barcode on it, and you put that in the circle of the talking machine, and it reads everything about your prescription.
Yes.
It tells you the date of it, the quantity that you take, how often you take it, phone numbers for if you think you did something wrong.
Right.
Who to call. Got everything you want to know.
Yeah, I asked my Walgreens about that. Now, it was some time back. And they said, well, they never heard of such a thing. And I said, well, I know it's available. Well, not at our store. I did not pursue it. I probably should have. But I think I might try that again. That's still where I get my...
I know I do mine mail order through CVS, and they come. I mean, I had to request that it be done, but
sure.
Well, the more people that request it, especially if you know, Diane, that maybe there's more than one blind person that might be doing it, I think the squeaky wheel definitely would get the grease. And if they haven't heard of it, the script talk people will call the pharmacies and talk to them about it, or you can look them up online. There's a lot. They're willing to, I talk to them all the time. They sent me out a demo unit, and they're really, just really eager to get into a lot more places.
I'm sure that's true. I need to revisit that because I'm sure it's much easier now than it was. Some drug stores will deliver. And the older where I used to live, we had a wonderful pharmacy, and they would deliver. I don't know how much of that is going on now with COVID. I just don't know.
We do have some raised hands, but I did want to mention that I'm told any Walmart pharmacy will do it. You may have to tell them first, but they contact their headquarters, and any Walmart pharmacy, the corporation will equip them to support that.
You know, I am so glad that you said that, because I have heard that. And I don't live near a Walmart, but I certainly can get there, you know, to get my prescriptions done. I was,
but you would have to. They'll deliver, I think. Or do mail order.
I used to do mail order.
Yes.
And one time, only one time, we had terrible snow. Good old Colorado can get snows. And we didn't get our prescriptions when we needed them. So we both kind of...
We have a couple of questions, Diane.
Yeah, go ahead. Who has a question?
Okay, Cynthia to unmute. There you go, Cynthia. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm here.
Hi, Cynthia. What's your question?
Well, I kind of made a comment. I like the fact that you talked about putting your, when you're measuring dry ingredients and stuff on a big plate. At blind school, that she taught me to use a large cookie sheet with a rim on it. So
yeah,
that way
I can too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I wish I'd known that with my vision because, you know, you don't chase the powder or the liquid across the counter and down the floor.
Oh, you're right about that.
No.
Thank you for adding that. That's a great idea.
You're welcome. And the other thing is in that big cookie sheet, I have a flexible cutting board I put in there, and that's where I cut my vegetables in. So that way, if I accidentally, you know, one gets wild on me, it will contain it. I don't have to go find it.
You know, there are so many smart people around. I didn't think of that, but I bet I'll think of it now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have Sharon. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think recently I checked with my pharmacy, and I think it's $700 a year for that pharmacy. I'd like to be wrong about that. It's not just a $700 flat fee for them because they have to buy the labels. And I think Walmart used to be just mail prescriptions, and it's Envision America that has the Script Talk and also ID Mate, and the Script Talk also has an iPhone app that's pretty neat. You just put the bottle on the speaker of your iPhone and it starts reading everything.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, that's great to know.
I found that out at National and I tried it.
Someone commented on the $7 figure. That is not to you, the customer. That is
For them to have the labels. It's $700 for the pharmacy, not the receiver, not the patient.
Correct. Okay, yeah. Good. Anybody else?
There's a phone number with their hand raised.
816. We also had Carol's iPad. I sent requests to unmute.
I wanted to mention that most pharmacies have really gigantic pill containers somewhere back in the corner, and if you ask, they will sell you those empty pill containers, and then you can put a Braille label on the pill container and put your entire prescription bottle in it, and then put a bump dot on both the large container and the small one.
Uh-huh.
And that way, if you ever get your small bottle out and you get them mixed up, you'll be able to get it back right in the right label jar.
Well, that's great. I didn't know that you could buy something like that.
There is also, at least a few years ago, there was a small tape recorder. It was a digital tape recorder that attached to pill bottles. And I saw one last year or so. It was about $10, and it would record long enough to record your information, and then it had a ring that would attach to your pill bottle. One of the other things that I wanted to mention, if you are handling your own money, you can do it with money orders. Most places will still accept a money order, and you can order stamps from any stationery company with the name and address of the people that you regularly pay as well as your own, and then mark those stamps so that all you have to do is stamp your money orders and your envelopes and just send your payment off that way.
Okay. Well, I surely hope everybody is handling their own money. I just think that is the most important things we can do.
Hello?
Is someone seeking the floor?
Hi, this is Carol Braithwaite with the Seniors Division in Alabama.
Know you well, Carol. Carol, go ahead.
Good to hear your voice, always.
Couple
of things about cooking. I love the cookie sheet with the raised sides for lots of things, and I liked the suggestions that were given. One thing I've used it for is transferring ice trays. I'm one of those old-fashioned people who does not have an ice maker in the refrigerator by choice.
Yep.
And so I haven't been able to find those trays like Tupperware used to make with the lids on them. Well, does anybody know where you can get those?
What I would do, Carol, is I would call a Tupperware dealer your area and find out if they still make them. They were great.
Well, yeah, that I really should do that. I'd heard that maybe another company, you know, they were available at Walmart or somewhere. Thought maybe I could get them a little cheaper. But I have someone in my seniors division who has trouble with liquid measuring. She has no vision and no very little feeling in her hands. And she has a lot of trouble with, she loves to cook as a gourmet cook, but she has trouble with measuring, especially small amounts, you know, a tablespoon or a teaspoon.
What I do, maybe she's already tried this. I will say, for example, you're measuring, I don't know, nutmeg. So I like to buy it, my spices in bottles. I can take the lid off and dip my spoon in there.
Right. And she's good with the dry measures. It's the liquid that she has so much trouble with.
Well, maybe the suggestion I gave her was the place which she's measuring was something measured in a side of a larger dish. So if she gets, if it runs over.
She can hear it if it runs over. Yeah. It's just, you know, with something like vanilla, if you're using,
the lid.
You don't want to waste it if you can help it. I had suggested she use beakers. I found some little beakers that, you know, you can pour out of.
Yeah.
Her, but, I don't know if anybody's had success with those. I'm still not great with them.
Well,
because the entrance to them is so small. I mean, even with a little bit of vision that I have trouble getting it filled.
Well, I think that measuring small amounts, any lemon extract or vanilla, what I do is I very carefully take the lid off and into like tablespoon, and there's a lot of guesswork that gone. I have to admit that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a number of hands going up, so I want to go to Linda Wellman.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say, and I just got one of these, but then I heard it was liquid, so that it just doesn't matter as much. But I just got this thing. It's like from Tupperware, and it's a Lazy Susan kind of thing that turns around and around. But the cool thing is that it has, imagine a lot of interlocking little containers where you can put all your spices. And then if you pick one of them out of the interlocking thing, the cool thing is it on the top, it has a place where you can either just shake out the spice. It also has another thing that you can just open and then you can take out a whole spoonful to measure. But it also has a lever that you push the lever and it automatically dispenses, a quarter of a teaspoon at a time. It's really cool. You can just keep on measuring and measuring and measuring, and it'll automatically dispense that quarter teaspoon every time you push the lever.
Ah, that's good to know.
Yeah, I thought it was really, I just got it. I'm enjoying playing with it so far.
Who's next, Michael?
Well, I've asked a few, Jean and Katie, and just waiting for them to unmute. There's someone, hello?
This is Katie.
Hello.
Katie, go ahead.
In answer to the question about measuring liquids like vanilla, we used, at the Louisiana Center, we used baby food jars. We put them, and then you can just dip them.
So you would pour the contents from the vanilla bottle into a baby food jar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good idea.
Okay. Cynthia again. I was starting to get a few folks that hadn't spoke, but we got a lot of hands here. Cynthia, I think Zoom is showing an attitude today.
So I thought we had it. Yeah, maybe not.
Okay. Now I got it.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
Do you want me to wait?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I don't mean to take over. I'm just kind of a newly graduating bind person from school. But they told me at school you can take your vanilla and get those little teeny canning jars. They maybe hold maybe a cup, half a cup. I don't know. And I put my vanilla in there, and then we've got the metal measuring spoons, and you fold and you make them a baby ladle. You bend them at the base, so you've got a ladle, and you just dip it out.
Yeah.
And if I need to measure maybe 3 tablespoons of water or something to put in the brownie mix, I just get water from the tap and I put it in a small glass, short glass, and then I just dip it out of that.
Very
so that
good.
Way I get my liquids.
Right. All right. Okay. Cynthia. She'd be unmuted. Cynthia Young. I don't think she just muted herself. Okay.
That's who just spoke with Cynthia.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Do you have someone else, Mike? Well, while we're waiting, I know another trick that I didn't mention. For measuring oils, for example, salad oil, I keep those liquids cold. And then they're a lot when you pour it in your cup. I do it slowly. But you can tell if it's cold, you can tell a lot better. Who wanted this to speak?
Is that 816?
I was asked to unmute. You can sometimes use an eyedropper for small quantities of liquid and then set it on the edge of your measuring spoon and, squeeze gently.
Yeah.
And another thing that you can do, you can use a cork with a toothpick in it when you are measuring things like milk or hot liquid, and that will let you tell how far down the liquid is.
So it floats.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that suggestion.
You're welcome.
Judy Nelson.
Judy Sanders, maybe?
I both Judys, actually, but...
Oh, okay. Then Judy Nelson is first.
Question about... I vacuum also, and I have an upright vacuum cleaner, and I'm constantly breaking the belt because I have run over something. It's gotten frustrating because I think I have gotten everything off the floor that shouldn't hit the vacuum cleaner, but I have torn up many a belt because I think I've gotten everything and I haven't. Any suggestions? Or just keep replacing vacuum cleaner belts?
Well, this is Diane. Let me suggest this. Go back to the barefoot method. And maybe that will be helpful to find things. And you won't be breaking as many belts. I don't know, but it's worth a try.
So if I'm barefoot, then it's something under my feet, and I'll know it's there.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
I'll try that. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead, Judy Sanders. Go ahead.
Okay. Amazon sells silicone ice trays that have lids.
Oh,
good. Well, fancy that.
And other people may want to mute themselves if they're not waiting to talk, because I think that's who we're hearing in the background.
I'm glad to know that, Judy. I'll have to get some of those. I used to have an ice maker and a refrigerator. I had, but it made way more ice than we would use. And so my current refrigerator, well, it came with my apartment. But I don't miss the ice maker at all.
Okay, send request to 218. We are...
Hi, Mary. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Mary.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to talk about the ladles. I use ladles also, and I didn't want to try to bend one myself. So I phoned the catalog company, Vermont Country Store, and they have a series of ladles that are from 1/4 teaspoon all the way up to 2 tablespoons.
Okay. That's good to know.
So that's all I wanted to talk about.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We've come to the end here. It's 5 p.m. So I'm going to ask Ruth to unmute, see if she has any final comments or maybe we'll do any additional questions. But
okay.
Ruth, you there?
Yes, I am. Do we have more hands raised for questions or many more? I think many, see, what we're finding out at this retreat, look at all the suggestions that have been made. Many heads make good decisions. So there are many things that are available that you can use. There's not one way for anything, whether it's keen travel or cooking or cleaning, whatever it might be. There's the method that you're going to discover. We call it discovery method for a reason, because you can discover things by trying a variety of solutions and finding out those that work best for you. So that's great. Are there more hands raised? I don't want to cut somebody off.
Sharon?
Somebody is.
I think it's Sharon. I don't want noise. I'll start muting everyone here.
Okay, Sharon, if you could mute yourself again, unless you have a question.
Just muted her, because I think she wasn't.
Okay, yeah, right. Well, I would also say that Walmart does have, and you have to ask for it probably, but there are talking like blood pressure cuffs and things like that. If your doctor says, we want you to monitor your blood pressure. So sometimes just ask. And the medical profession doesn't always know what they are, but ask your pharmacist, ask, the pharmacy at Walmart or whatever. But you can find other things that may be helpful to you. Also, I don't know, but I think most states have a program for equipment that is used to help people function more independently. In Maryland, it's called Maryland Technical Assistance Program.
Yes.
And it deals with a lot of technology things, but they have a variety of other simple things that people can loan or borrow. For example, suppose you broke your ankle or something and you couldn't get up you can borrow ramps to get in or out of your house. Now you can't keep them forever, but I mean, sometimes situations occur and you don't maybe want to go through a lot of money installing something, but you need a solution. So besides the technology part, they can have very simple things. They've got, kind of like a wand-like thing that maybe 4 feet long, maybe it's longer. It's got a magnet on the end. So if you drop things like needles or your pins, your safety pins, you know, you could take that thing or you could make one yourself and go across the floor and pick up those things instead of crawling around looking for them. So sometimes there's these things that are available. You just have to ask to see who has them and where you can get them. So there are lots of, you know, devices and things that have already been invented. And sometimes you don't need them all the time, but when you do, it's nice to know how to find them.
Area code 856.
Hello, this is Donna. And hello, Ruth. I attended the retreat last year with you. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I wanted to add suggestions to measuring. When you want to measure flour or sugar, if you just take a sheet of wax paper or foil and measure it over that, when you take the knife across and push off the excess, it'll go onto the wax paper or foil. Then all you have to do is lift the sides together. The contents fall to the bottom, and you can easily pour it back into the container.
Very good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also with the liquid, someone mentioned refrigerate some items like oil so that it's cold and you can feel when you pour it into your measuring container. And if you do have feeling in your fingertips, you just put your fingertip over the edge of the cup or the spoon in towards the center of the container, and you'll feel it come up and touch your finger when it's cold, and you know you have it at that measuring level.
That's great. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Okay, thank you, Donna.
And one thing I want to caution everyone, when we're blind, it is better to keep your feet covered when you're working, because you can injure yourself.
Well,
if you are walking around trying to find pins or bobby pins or needles or anything small like that, even glass maybe there that you're not aware of, you're going to injure yourself. It would be better to mess up that vacuum cleaner belt than it is to injure yourself, and you can cause infection. So I caution all of us who are blind to protect your feet.
The person who talked about a wand that had a magnet on the end.
Yes.
That will save your feet for sure. It won't tell you about your vacuum cleaner belt, but it will tell you about pins or a needle or something like that.
Yes. Okay, thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Donna.
Okay.
I would say going barefoot, it can be a situation, particularly for people who are diabetic, because because you really must protect your feet. And if you don't have good feeling in your feet because of diabetes or some other reason, doesn't matter what it is, then you do want to have a hard-soled something on your feet. So, you know, with the vacuuming, I don't know if there's something any way other than feeling with your hands if you think you've dropped something, look then. Don't wait, you know, until time has passed. Because you may find it or hear where it dropped or have some idea in the room where it's dropped. Whereas if you leave it, it could, you know, be it can travel.
Okay, Sharon, your question please.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say vacuuming in patterns. And also, I found it's best, and not everybody can afford them, but sometimes you can get a good canister vacuum for $25. And they have really good suction, and some of them are bagless. And the thing about canister, it's a wand. You do have to be cognizant of where the machine is because it's on wheels. It's, you know, on a hose. And we grew up with those, and I've got to deal with cat litter in a basement. And the best thing to do with that is a canister. Makes your floor looks like it's buffed. But they say to vacuum in overlapping patterns, like Diane was saying.
I have one other suggestion. My daughter has this. See, there are a lot of modern things. She's got like a little robot vacuum cleaner. Now, she doesn't have stairs, okay? And hers is a little square, and you just turn this thing on, and it goes around the house and just vacuums. I mean, you leave it on for about an hour, well, however long you want to leave it on for. But it goes, and it bumps into the furniture, and it turns, and it's not very tall, so it can go under some furniture, not all furniture, probably. But she just lets that thing go around in her house, and it vacuums her house. I don't know what you pay for it.
It's called a Roomba. The only problem is it's big and round, so it sometimes can't get
into tight corners.
Well,
hers isn't. Hers is square.
Okay.
Hers is square and very low to the ground. I don't know what kind it is, but, you know, technology is making these things, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Carol.
So she just lets that thing go.
Yes, my husband gave me one of those for Christmas a few years ago, and I thought, dadgum, a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? But you know what? It is one of my favorite objects in the house. It is round, but it has, we've had it 5 years. I use it at least once a week thoroughly all over the place. And, It has been a great machine. We got one of the lower end ones. I think it was probably about 200. But the other thing I wanted to say about vacuuming is y'all gave me a fabulous idea with this wand with the magnet on it. Why not go to the hardware store and get a long magnet that you can rubber band to your cane? And then stand in the middle of the room and use that cane to go in a pattern over the room. I use my cane underneath furniture before I use the Roomba in case there are shoes or cords or anything under there that I need to get off the floor. But I think that would work pretty well.
It sounds like it would, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have the 816 again here.
Okay, let me see what time it is. I don't want us to
It's 12, so I know we were going to have about 15, so if we want to do one more question maybe. But
okay, maybe one more question, and then, that would be good.
Hello?
Yes, go
ahead. The wands that you're talking about, the magnetic pickups, you can buy them in the automotive department at or in a hardware store. I have several of them, and they're very useful. They have a telescoping handle on them. The other thing I'd like to say very quickly, I would like to thank the lady that gave me the tip about using the clock face for figuring out how to swing my cane. It's the first sensible suggestion I've heard on that topic, and I really needed to know that. So thank you.
Good.
Yeah, that's what I was taught way back when we still had clocks.
Yeah. That's true. We don't have them anymore. Yes. Okay. Well, I think today we've covered a lot of different topics, and we've had a good interaction and a lot of very good questions and some many, many solutions. And I look forward to tomorrow, and we'll have the same schedule.